You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to a very special episode of Doing the Work, the first show on the Back Home Network dedicated to covering IU women's basketball. Today will be our 113th episode recorded on Sunday, March 17th, 2024. I'm your host, Kathy Amos, joined by my co-host, Jeff Marlowe, and two very special guests. We have Austin Render and the Assembly Call intern, Josh Pose. And we may be joined later on in the episode as well by potentially a couple more special guests. But tonight we're going to be doing a live watch party as the women's bracket is revealed and see what the rest of the field of 64 entails, as well as the draw for our number 15 Indiana Hoosiers. But tonight, as always, while we're waiting for the brackets to be revealed, we'll go ahead and talk about the banner moment. And gentlemen, for me, I'm going to go with earlier this week where Mackenzie Holmes was named to the final 15 national ballot for the John Wooden Award. And this is just another example in the long history of the last 5 years of Mackenzie Holmes adding to her list of potential awards and accolades. And nothing is more deserved than Mackenzie being on this list. And as always, our banner moment is brought to you by Homefield Apparel. Homefield Apparel is, of course, having their special March Madness frenzy going on, and they just revealed today they're having their mystery boxes going on as well. So go out there and sign up for that. And if it's your first time purchasing from Homefield, you can use our promo code HOME23 for 15% off your entire first order. Again, that promo code is HOME23 for 15% off, and the website is homefieldapparel.com. We're one for the team. All right, so here we go. Got a little Bob Thompson music to kick it off, and I think we'll keep this pretty loose tonight. We'll see how everyone in the chat's feeling. We got our first bracket coming up here as we're watching. So Josh, Austin, as our guest, do either of you want to kind of jump in, give your prediction? Do you think we're hosting got a number 4 seed coming at us?
I'll just put it out there right now. There's no insider information on my part. I am going to find this out as soon as all of you do. I do think that I think we will be a 4. I think we should be a 4. I thought about this morning. We had 8 losses going to the postseason 2 years ago, and we were a comfy 3. It's crazy how deep the top of women's college basketball has gotten, where there's, I mean, we have 5 losses and we might not even host. That's pretty wild to me. But I do think Indiana will show up on the 4 line today. I like that ESPN's already dilly-dallying here. Shout out to CBS, who does not dilly-dally. They go straight
right in.
But we're already talking about biggest storylines. I have it on mute. My guess is it's Caitlin Clark.
And South Carolina.
In South Carolina. That's right.
Well, South Carolina's undefeated. How about you, Josh?
For me, absolutely. I'm fairly confident Indiana will be in Bloomington. I believe they'll start Friday. Correct me if I'm wrong, Austin. Friday, Sunday probably is what it is?
Or it Saturday, Monday? Well, last two years we've been Saturday, Monday. I like the Friday, Sunday a little better because I like the Sunday crowds that we draw.
All right, here we go.
Monday night's always tough.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm guessing the first number 1 seed will probably be South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yep. 32-0, well deserved. They'll be hosting and absolutely well deserved.
That's the 1-1 seed I don't want to see us pop up in. Not that we can't contend with them, but I think with how much diversity there is in the women's game right now, if you get anybody but South Carolina, you feel like you've got a shot. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, although Tennessee showed that it is possible. If Cardoso doesn't bank in a 3, they beat him in the SEC semifinals. So it is possible.
Yeah. And Tennessee played him tough in that last regular season game, too. South Carolina was just a little too deep for him in that one. So, yeah, not surprised here. They'll be playing against a play-in team of Sacred Heart or Presbyterian. So, yeah, no surprises yet. So we'll see how this continues to play out.
I think here. I might be a bit ahead of you guys. I'm not going to lie.
Oh boy! Josh.
Okay, don't
my Hulu tends to lag about 20 seconds or 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I'm on YouTube.
Okay, I'm on YouTube TV. So what we got number 8.
I'm seeing North Carolina pop up right now.
And
they're already on the 4-13.
Michigan State.
Okay. Michigan State so getting in. That's good. Good for the Big Ten.
But that's under what Lunardi had them at. That's under what Lunardi had them at.
Lunardi had it. Well, I think the loss to Nebraska hurt in the Big Ten.
I agree, but he still had them at the 7. There's, IU is in with South Carolina.
In the 4 seed. All right.
All right. Well, we got
South Carolina region, but we're in.
Yep.
And it's Fairfield.
There's Fairfield. We're going to talk about this in a little bit.
We'll talk about this more, but yeah.
Ooh, I mean,
they're on a streak, 31-1. Yeah, that could be an interesting matchup, and in South Carolina bracket too. Well, we didn't have to wait long, so
no, we didn't. First bracket, but like Jeff said, we got to talk about this because I don't like that matchup. Not necessarily. Not that I know a whole lot about the way Fairfield plays, but I don't like facing a team that's 31-1. That's a team that knows how to win. They've learned how to win all season long. And they're not going to come into Bloomington with anything but confidence.
Yeah, and here we go. Our number 5 matchup, if we get past Fairfield, will be Oklahoma if they get past their 12 seed, Florida Gulf Coast, which is an interesting matchup.
Yeah, FGCU is another team that almost year in and year out, they are a mid-major that makes a run in the NCAA tournament. So those are two interesting teams for sure. I'm thankful that the 5 seed was not Syracuse. So there's not a rematch with Coach Jack. So I think that's probably for the best, as the Hoosiers don't draw Syracuse.
Yeah. So, and included in our bracket here, we got number 3, Oregon State up against Eastern Washington. By the way, guys, do we play on Friday or Saturday? I didn't catch.
I did not catch that. I don't know if they designating it as they go.
They didn't say
I
yet.
I don't think they.
No, they're not putting the dates like the men's side.
I think the women's one takes a minute to come out. Yeah.
Also, that means we were the last 4 seed, so we were the last home.
That's right.
Host school.
Yeah, which is a little surprising with all the other loss. So here we go, another Big Ten team, number 6, Nebraska.
And again, that's over what Lunardi had them at.
I'm really surprised that they put so many Big Ten teams in the same bracket, And like, I know Michigan State's not going to beat South Carolina, but a potential Sweet 16 Big Ten matchup seems very strange to me.
Yeah, I know they at least try to keep them out of the first 2 rounds, but you would think they'd spread them out a little bit more than that. Yeah, okay. So you got confirmation they haven't said yet what day. So here we go. Notre Dame getting the number 2 seed.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would label it as a very difficult bracket.
Yeah, we're really
this isn't the easiest bracket in the world for South Carolina either.
No, that's true. It really isn't.
As your number one,
and you're the number one overall seed.
But Notre Dame played its way from like a 5 seed up to a 2 seed over the final 3 weeks of the season. They were terrific down the stretch, and a team that nobody wants to see right now.
Yeah.
Oregon State being a 3, I'm a little bit surprised by. That seems a little high to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look, but I really feel like what the committee's doing is not totally different, but there's some real differences between this and what Lunardi had. Lunardi may be accurate on teams, but his seed
placement. Are you talking Lunardi or Charlie Cream?
Charlie Cream.
I'm sorry. I keep saying Lunardi. I'm sorry. Charlie Cream, because I was watching the men earlier. But Charlie Cream, I'm sorry. But there's a lot of, the placement's off.
Yeah. Josh, what are your overall thoughts now that you've kind of seen how are you feeling about this bracket that we got put into?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kind of made some faces there before it came out and Fairfield getting on there. Fairfield's a tough matchup.
Yes.
I have a friend that lives out in that area and she said they're a really good team. Obviously yesterday they nearly lost in their conference championship game, but like Austin said, to his point, they know how to win. Terry Moore's team also knows how to win. And if it's it doesn't matter what day it is, Indiana fans will be there selling out Assembly Hall. So Fairfield hasn't played in an environment quite like that. I don't think they're ready for it. But South Carolina, much like UConn on the men's side, getting the toughest bracket. I mean, we still have 3 more regions to go, but this is a really tough bracket for South Carolina. I think they'll still prevail, but it's not going to be an easy route for them.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer to be in South Carolina's bracket because, I mean, nobody's beaten them yet. But hey,
somebody's
got to beat them, right? And who knows? Maybe it's Indiana's time.
I just pulled up some quick analytics on Fairfield. According to Her Hoop Stats, they are 47th in offensive possession. They are 47th in offensive efficiency, 5th in defensive efficiency.
That's pretty good.
Yep. That'll be interesting. Okay.
Was that Albany?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a key for us, don't you guys? I think it's our shooting.
Yeah, an Albany regional.
Yeah, because, okay. I mean, you know, McKenzie, I think, yeah, that's right, Albany regional. So I think, you know, if McKenzie's at full strength, there's nothing to worry about, hopefully, there, but it depends on Florida Gulf Coast in the brain, Fairfield and their three-point defense. You know, the thing I like is obviously being at home, so...
So I pulled up.
I think
the
that's
going to
be a
stats.
Huge advantage. So here we go.
Let me run through some Fairfield
so
stuff.
So Iowa
for
got
you.
It.
Very,
in the one seed.
Very good defensive team. 36% opponent field goal percentage, 16th best in the country, 27th in the country, and opponent 3-point percentage at 27.9%. They're middle of the pack in opponent 3-point rate. So they do give up a decent amount of 3-point looks, but they don't allow too many of them to fall. 17th in opponent 2-point field goal percentage and 11th in the country, averaging only allowing 55 points a game this season. Now, keep in mind, it's a weaker conference. It's a weaker schedule. That's a Fairfield team that was not going to make the NCAA tournament despite being 31-1 if they didn't win their conference tournament. So the numbers on there are a little bit skewed in that sense, but you still have to be good to be 31-1 and not stumble at any point in your conference season.
Possible matchup for Iowa with Princeton in the second round.
That's a feisty Princeton squad. We saw them down in Florida. That's a good team. Caitlin Chen is as good as it gets at the point guard position. So I don't think they'll beat Iowa, but I don't think it'll be a cakewalk.
Right.
Just like it was for us 2 years ago.
Yeah, so Ari in our chat here just pointed out that Fairfield did beat Rutgers this year by 24. So they do have some experience beating at least a Big Ten team, although it was Rutgers. So we can take that for what it means.
K-State was considered a better four seed.
I think K-State, they've already beaten Iowa, haven't they, this year?
They split twice. So
that'd be an interesting one.
Yes,
they beat Iowa in Iowa City when
wouldn't play in Iowa City. They would get to the Sweet Six. Is this another Albany or is this Portland?
It's Albany.
This is Albany. Now, okay. Albany.
So, gosh. So Indiana, if we made it to the Sweet 16, we'd be playing in the midst of Iowa mania again. We can't escape Caitlin Clark mania.
But that kind of, so yeah. So my final four, if it gets that far, the final four matchup in the semi will be South Carolina and Iowa, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. No. Or yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. That, right?
Or yeah. No. I'm sorry. No, they're doing the second. I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh,
are they on opposite sides?
This is Albany, too. This is Albany, too.
They're on opposite sides, right?
Yeah,
this is Albany, too. My bad.
Yeah. So Drake.
Colorado presents a tough matchup for Iowa, too, I think. I think that Colorado K-State game has potential to be one of the best in the first weekend.
Remember how good Colorado looked right out the gates when they beat LSU? Yeah. I mean, they've struggled here down the stretch of the season, but that's certainly no cakewalk for Iowa.
Yeah, that's for sure. We had Colorado early on beat LSU. So
boy, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark in the Elite Eight would be that'd be a lot.
They didn't do that rematch. They didn't do that on purpose.
Never do.
So they also offensively for Fairfield, there's not a whole lot there. Middle of the pack in points, middle of the pack in 3-point shooting. They're a good field goal percentage team. They score it pretty efficiently. But not a lot. They are a very slow team. They take even fewer possessions than we do. So it's really, I think Fairfield's going to want it to be a very defensive game. But if Indiana can get out and run, that could be where they could present their biggest advantage.
Hey, also, I want to give a shout out to the 830-plus people who are joining us for our first ever live watch party. So thank you for joining with us.
Yeah, we have 100 live on YouTube for sure.
For those asking, I saw a comment about where the games will be broadcasted. The entire tournament is on ESPN Network. So that'll That's all right. come out as we find out dates and times. They'll assign ESPN sub-channel designations for all of these games.
You got to think that Iowa's going to be on ESPN News, right?
We'll put them on ESPN Plus so they get all the subscribers.
ESPN Plus. Yeah. What do you mean? ESPN Plus all the time.
And UCLA is the 2 seed.
Yeah.
That's a good UCLA team, too. I mean, that's a team they were on the one line until the Pac-12 tournament.
That's right.
Coming into the Big Ten next year.
So that's probably
USC, too.
Are they saying that Iowa was the 4th number one, or are they going in order here and Iowa was the number one?
On the right side, that means they're 2. If they're on they're the top, they're the two overall.
Interesting. So that means they jumped Stanford and
USC.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they're not sending Iowa out to Portland.
Cream on his last one yesterday had Iowa as the third number one seed. He still had Stanford, I think, at that spot in the second.
I felt like Stanford was riding some early season coattails. They struggled at times. Now, Brink missed some time, so that was part of it. But that's not an easy bracket for Iowa, having to deal with LSU, UCLA, Kansas State, a team that's beaten them. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Louisville's got talent.
That's true. But I am quite sure that LSU being in that bracket was not by accident. I'm quite sure they were looking for that Iowa-LSU matchup again between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark for sure. So it'll be interesting if we see that actually happen.
Well,
The other thing about this regional that Indiana's in, because there are certain amount of allotment of tickets for each school, but for the general admission part of it, Oklahoma, Fairfield, Florida Gulf Coast, probably not bringing a huge set of fans. So this is going to be a heavily IU, and we knew it would be, but it's not as if Indiana drew somebody from the Midwest or like close by or a big fan base. This should be all Hoosier fans snagging all of those GA tickets.
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be really great if we can, get a close to at least, if not an actual sellout here and get close to that 17,000 mark again. That'd be great. Yeah, Jeff, go ahead.
Real quick, just Austin and Josh, can I get your thoughts? I actually start Josh and then go to you, Austin. You can't talk down this road. But I think it's just starting to really see the depth in the women's basketball game at the college level. Yes. When we're talking about some of these teams that have played their way up or these regionals not necessarily being cakewalks. I mean, I remember going back 10, 15 years ago as a coach watching some of this and being like, you just kind of chalked everything. The one through four seeds were pretty much going to make it to the regionals, and it was pretty much a chalk line. Now it's not. This has gotten to be a very deep tournament. Josh, I'll get your thoughts first, then Austin.
Yeah, there is so much parity in women's college basketball now, and it's honestly really fun to watch. I mean, we're not quite at 16 seeds beating the one seeds yet, or making a 14 beating a 3, which is entirely possible this year because – this year, you're no longer looking at that 5 seed like Jeff said. You're looking at that 5 seed against the 12 seed like Indiana and Fairfield. And people could be picking Fairfield maybe solely on record alone. People might look, the casuals might look and say, hey, Fairfield's a 30-1 team. I really think that it's great for the game. It's kind of unfortunate. This is my one gripe, is that they're focusing on one team because there are so many good teams. I mean, remember when being in the top 25, like being 25 through like 18 was like, okay, you're nowhere near the level of 1 through 17. No, you're right up there with the top, with the best of the best. So I've really enjoyed seeing that transition from the chalk 1-1-1-1 in the Final Four to, hey, maybe sixth seed in the Elite Eight or maybe make it to the Final Four this year.
Yeah, that's right. Makes you filling out your bracket a whole lot more interesting, right? You actually have to put a little more thought into it. But yeah, what about you, Austin? You know, throw it over to you for the question Jeff just asked.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. Like, even you don't even have to go 10, 15 years. I mean, it's 5, 7 years ago where, I mean, the thing was you could have a pretty good women's bracket because you just had to pick the ones or maybe the twos to get to the Final Four. It was always going to be South Carolina and Stanford and UConn and at the time Mississippi State had some good teams and Louisville and Notre Dame. But like now, I mean, you look at those first two brackets and you're thinking, I mean, yeah, South Carolina is the preeminent favorite, but not going to be easy because they got to deal with Indiana and then they got to deal with Notre Dame and then you look at Iowa's bracket and we're talking about how the 4 seed could beat the 1 seed. And I work at a school where the 1 seed lost in the second round last year. I mean, right. this stuff is so different. And we're talking about being afraid of the 13 seed right now. And so women's basketball is in a really good spot. March Madness is just so much more maddening, which is frustrating for the top teams, but it's great for the entertainment level. It's just great to see where the game has come. A lot of non-conference shuffling, and I think that's a really good thing for women's basketball, that outside of South Carolina, everybody took their bumps and bruises throughout the season, and we've ended up where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I find it really interesting too, because, you know, it always was just a handful of schools that we were always talking about, right? You mentioned them, the Tennessee and Notre Dame and UConn. And we haven't even seen that. And, you know, for a while there, Tennessee this year was talked about as not even, you know, being ranked or on the bubble. And I'm sure they're firmly in now, but, you know, for a while earlier this year, we weren't. So here we got our regional number 3. So we got USC getting one of those number 1 seeds. Also, that's not surprising here. So we'll be seeing them next year, right?
We're gonna see them. We're gonna see Juju Watkins, and
that's right.
As soon as Caitlin Clark exits stage left, coming in on the right is Juju Watkins. So
yeah,
things don't get any easier. The Big Ten adding some. I mean, look at the teams we're adding just in LA. That's a 2 seed and a 1 seed that are coming to the Big Ten next year. So it's which is fun. I think the Big Ten. Is an underrated conference. It didn't have its best year this season, but I mean, Michigan State's clearly heading in the right direction. Michigan's going to be in the NCAA tournament. Nebraska's always there. Maryland had a down year, but you expect them to pick it back up. And then you've got Iowa, IU, and Ohio State at the top, and you're going to add 2 tournament teams in UCLA and USC. Oregon's a team that has had a tough couple of years, but they're a program that has a lot of history. So.
And a lot of Nike money.
Jump in real quick. I want to shout out to Sam, who is live with us in the chat here. And he just mentioned that Fairfield's coach was actually an assistant at Minnesota when Sarah Scalia used to play there. So that's also an interesting storyline. I'm sure we can think about as well.
Virginia Tech then would have been considered a higher 4 seed with Kitley more than likely out of the tournament.
That's right. That's very interesting.
The frustrating part is that they haven't said anything on Kitley. Because I think they're trying to protect themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
They haven't officially ruled her out.
I get that.
Maybe she's not out. Maybe she'll play. I hope she plays.
I do too.
Because she's awesome. That team with her and Georgia Amore could be a really difficult 4 seed for USC. They've been pretty quiet about what's going on with
her. By the way, we should mention Michigan. We should mention Michigan snuck in there playing Kansas as a number 9 seed. Yep. So we got another and Big Cream Ten had, team in there. So what does that make? 4 now, if I'm keeping track right?
Yes. Yep. 3 and 5. Yeah. 3 in our bracket. Iowa.
And Cream had them last 4 by.
Which is probably right around the last 9, maybe.
Yeah. So
they also interesting, we have not seen Ohio State yet. Or Stanford.
Columbia snagging an at-large.
No. And they're dangerous.
That's surprising. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm look at their reaction. They're shocked.
They didn't think they were getting in.
That doesn't look like a team that was expecting to hear their name called today.
Nope, not after they lost in the Ivy League final yesterday.
Yeah, that's I'm surprised by that one. Vanderbilt had a great year. That's the only loss for Fairfield is Vanderbilt. So, yeah. I'll be curious where Maryland shows up. I'm imagining they'll be in one of the 8-9 brackets as well. And then Ohio State will be at 2.
Yeah, but we just hadn't seen them. That's all I was saying.
We saw Nebraska, right? So we've actually seen 6 Big Ten teams now.
Yeah.
Boy, Maryland may be on the bubble a little bit here.
I would have thought the Ohio State win would have taken them off the bubble.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But it doesn't seem like a lot of the conference tournaments have made that much of an issue.
Yeah, there's still one more 8-9. I would be shocked if Maryland's not in the last 8-9 matchup. But I did see something funny that Nebraska, Texas A&M are now playing in both the men's and the women's brackets.
Oh, wow.
And I believe A&M just snagged Nebraska's AD.
Yep.
So that's quite interesting. The
committee... Syracuse is a 6.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
They dropped quite a bit from their – they were a 4
seed. They
really
dropped.
Not too long ago.
Yeah. Yep.
They were a quick exit in the ACC tournament, so.
Could we see Ohio State as the 2 seed in this region here?
Possibly. Absolutely. Yeah.
With UConn, that'd just be very tough for them. That'd be a tough draw for them.
Was UConn the 3?
Yes, UConn was the 3.
Okay, I
missed that. The thing about UConn is that UConn's depth is just so thin right now.
Are they going to make Ohio State and UConn play in the Sweet 16 2 straight years?
Ooh.
That'd be interesting, yeah. That happened last year. Ohio State beat them.
That's right. I mean, the committee would never do anything like that, would they?
I'll put my money on it. I'll put my house down on that.
Auburn and Arizona here getting in.
There's Ohio
State. It is. Yep. There's Ohio State as the 2. Yeah. In that same bracket ahead. With UConn.
Ohio State, UConn again. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's a matchup yet. Thrilled.
That's what I said. They don't look thrilled.
No, they don't look too excited about that one.
Except familiar Jason does have a smile.
I also don't.
There's the bat.
There's Maine.
Ooh,
Black
Maine.
Bears.
Look at that. All right.
All right. Good for Maine. It's always
that's
fun
a good,
to see.
That's a good team. And I know I might be saying that because they took us to the wire, but that's a good team.
Right. It is a good team. And it's fun to see some of our previous opponents, you know, kind of get in here as well. So I'm happy to see Maine get in there. So who else we got?
Don't Duke sleep on Richmond.
The Spiders can be sneaky.
They won the A-10, right?
Yes.
Is that the trophy that's right in front of them? Yeah. So
this bracket's not important,
left
right?
Is Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because I don't think Penn State's getting
in. I think Penn State's
out. I don't think so either. I think they need to at least be a little bit more competitive with Iowa in that Big Ten tournament game and possibly even beat them. They just don't have a win that really gets you on their resume. They don't have many bad losses, but it's the lack of that marquee win, which they nearly got at Assembly Hall. But that's a team where at its best, Penn State can make some noise, but at its worst, they could be a whimper and out very, very quickly.
Hey, just real curiously, I had mine on mute, but a buddy of mine told me that when Holy Cross was announced as part of the Iowa play-in game, the announcer called him Holly Cross.
Yeah. That's not great.
That's close.
I would assume, buckle up, that IU will be one of the more talked about 13-4 upset picks.
Yes.
With our health concerns and Fairfield being 31-1. Just be prepared if you're watching preview shows that they're going to pop that one up as a trendy upset pick. And I'll send it to the team every time it pops up and we'll just add it to the bulletin board and we'll be fine.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, we're kind of taking a break here with the TV, at least until our next, reveal comes out with the last bracket. So I'll kick this first maybe to you, Josh, and let you have a chance here to jump in. Any major surprises for you in terms of seeding that has come up so far that you kind of weren't expecting?
The only one I'm really looking at is Syracuse. I was expecting them to potentially battle Indiana or get Indiana at 5 spot. It now makes sense why Syracuse is not in the 5 anymore, because they're a 6 seed, because I was fully anticipating Indiana-Syracuse matchup, and Austin, you'll appreciate that. I think everyone will appreciate this. This is a sports media matchup that we were all waiting for.
Could have had a throwdown.
Yep. Yeah, trying to find a better sports media school, but Syracuse is my surprise going down to 6.
Yeah, that same for me. How about you, Jeff? Any major surprises so far in terms of seeding or that you've seen?
Yeah, what did Nebraska come in as, a 6? That one surprised me.
9.
I thought I could.
They were 9. Really?
9.
Nebraska's a 9. I think they're 6.
I'm sorry. I'm talking to Michigan State. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get mad at you. I was just saying I was pretty sure Nebraska was 6. That one surprised me a little bit. I mean, Nebraska had a nice tournament run, but they had some games, you know, you look kind of the overall. And I was looking real quick here at the net. Fairfield's net ranking is 89th. So the net's not loving them as much as some of the other metrics that Austin was pointing out with that. But so I wanted to get to that number, but I agree with Syracuse. I think Syracuse is one that I thought we all thought was that IU and Syracuse was kind of that last 4 or 5 that might be us hosting or it might be us going to Syracuse. So for them to fall to a 6 surprised me.
I think what I'm noticing is the women's committee put more emphasis on conference tournaments, with Iowa going all the way up to the number 2 overall seed, with USC jumping Stanford, with Nebraska going up to a 6 seed. It appears that they put a lot of weight in, or at least more weight than I thought, on the men's side. And what we saw earlier today in their bracket draw, I feel like the women's side, they put a decent amount of emphasis on big conference tournament wins, which is why I think Maryland will be comfortably in here as like an 8 seed probably.
Hey, I want to throw this out here, Austin, so I guess or Kathy and Josh. I'll throw this. Sorry, I'm not trying. I'll throw this out here. A couple teams we haven't seen and will be question marks about whether they're hosting or not. Gonzaga.
Yeah.
North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm scrolling through the net here real quick as I go along.
NC State will probably host. I wouldn't be shocked if Gonzaga's a 5 in this region right here. Wow, Texas got
so that's
Stanford,
so
Stanford's not the 1 seed. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So Stanford's the best 2.
So Texas takes the 1 seed. Interesting. Again, Big 12 champion, right? They won the Big 12 tournament.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. That Stanford didn't win their tournament.
Pretty Texas handily too. But
there's no way they.
Texas beat a hot Iowa State team, who also I don't think we've seen Iowa State sneaking in here either. And I fully expected them to be in. So I expect them from them.
Their wins.
Yes,
Iowa State's wins are the reason we are a host school. I'm shocked. So they clearly like.
I have a good friend.
Sorry, Kathy.
I've got a good friend here, obviously, in Des Moines, a lot of good friends. That's all right, that are Iowa State fans. And she came over the Sunday after Iowa State won, and I made sure to give her a couple of beers. So she was thankful for it. So I'm sure she had nothing to do with it, but yeah.
So we also Florida haven't State seen a lot. And Alabama haven't seen in the Washington 8-9 State either.
Maryland not in the 8-9. That's interesting.
They're a 10 or 11. Yeah. They're a 10 or 11.
And, hey, look at that. Gonzaga got that last number 4 hosting seed. So
my daughter's first year.
Good thing we're not bracketologists.
My daughter's first year law at Gonzaga. I'm trying to get her to snag some tickets to go watch.
That's an excited team right there. That's a team that was not sure if they were going to be hosting or not.
Nope.
So Maryland's going to be the 10.
So
we're going to go to Palo Alto, aren't they?
If they're lucky.
Maryland's going to be in Palo Alto.
That's tough.
If I'm Stanford, That's the last team I want to play because they're so physical. That Maryland team will beat you up for 40 minutes and make you earn it. Even if Stanford advances, they're going to be worse for the wear at the end of that game.
I will go back to this on Gonzaga real quick. They lost in the West Coast Conference Championship game. Had they won that, would they have been a higher 4 seed or 3 seed? I mean, with as much as their value in the conference tournaments.
Are they the highest 4 seed since they're in the weakest one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
So Utah misses out on a host spot. That's they struggled down the stretch of the year.
And I did not want to see Utah in our pod.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But at least
because they've got an answer for McKenzie.
They'll be out in Spokane, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
pod's in Gonzaga.
They'll be out in Spokane, though, at least.
Yeah, because that's Gonzaga's in Spokane, so that's where the pod is.
So they really did value conference champions by putting Texas in the one line. That's Texas did not win its regular season.
NC State snagging a 3 seed.
That's a good team.
Yeah, they did.
They were unranked, I believe, to start the year, and they went on that crazy run. They beat UConn. They beat a couple of teams early in the year.
There's Chattanooga.
I saw Chattanooga popping up as a potential opponent of ours a few times.
They're 28-4.
Yeah, I did too. So
I would not be surprised to see Maryland in a play-in game.
There's Tennessee
here.
Snagging a 6. So
Tennessee,
we got Tennessee here huge. Coming in at number 6.
That's a big bump for Tennessee. Tennessee was an 8-9 projection.
Yeah.
I think the committee said, "Hey, if it weren't for Cardoso, the only 3 bump. Ever, you would have been you would have been SEC championship game." And I think they gave him a little bit of a nod for that. Green Bay. Okay.
I guess. So, and they did take, like I said, they took South Carolina down to the wire in their regular season game too, but it just feels like a lot of recency bias too with some of this seating.
This is going to be huge. This one in particular, wasn't.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Stanford, it's a lot of recency bias with the way teams played right now, but then Maryland doesn't make a lot of sense because they just beat Ohio State. I'm surprised that they're
putting Maryland at a 7.
They're a 7?
No. I said, would they?
Oh.
No. Sorry. If they're not the 10, they're out.
Would they?
Oh, we're about to find out. There's only 3 teams left bracket, and they're not the 15.
No. Nope.
So. Right. Are they going to put Maryland really
in the first 4 game?
Play-in game? That's just shocking to me.
I'm shocked that Michigan got a 9, but Maryland fell that much lower. Because that's a better win for Maryland, to be honest with you, than what Michigan got.
Yeah, especially with the
Iowa State in the 7. Yeah, Thank you, Iowa State.
Iowa State, too. Again,
the play-ins are done. So this is just one team. Thank you
very much. Yeah, again, a lot of.
There's Maryland.
Yep. Okay, so Maryland got in at a number 10.
You were number 68.
That's a really interesting matchup.
The number 68 team announced,
They were probably number 63. I mean, they just missed the play-in.
Yeah.
Wow. So Penn State does not get in.
Yeah. And that's an interesting matchup with Iowa.
Yeah,
and Iowa State's a really, really young team. You know, they're a lot of young outside of their guard, who I think is a senior. They're pretty young, so it'll be interesting how they handle, this tournament play. I think this year too. So,
hey, help me a little bit. I did not see Washington State pop up.
That's exactly. So no Penn State. Shocking. Not shocking.
I thought I saw Washington State.
I didn't see them either. I'll double check.
Maybe I didn't, but
was UNLV up?
I'll check here.
It's weird watching the men's one and then the women's one, and I'm getting all the teams mixed up on who
I know
who I saw where.
They didn't post anything on Twitter.
Yes.
Well, because I'm trying about Washington State. If they didn't make it, they're the highest net that wouldn't have made it. They were number
29. Probably going to put if they do it like the men, they'll put the last 4 in, the first 4 out, I would assume.
Let's hope so. I would assume they would tell us that, but yeah, I'm not surprised. Is anyone surprised Penn State didn't make it in? I am not.
No. They needed
one
more.
Any surprises from the Big Ten? I think for me, maybe it's the Maryland. Maybe it's just because it was so last minute, but they did have an up and down season, but so I guess it's not bad. I just, maybe it just took longer to see their name pop up. But any surprises from the Big Ten, Josh? How about for you?
Other than Penn State, there wasn't really a huge surprise. I mean, Maryland dropping down to a 10 is a bit weird. I thought if Michigan was a 9, Maryland is deserving of 9, but I think they got a pretty good draw out of it. I don't think they'll win, but like Austin said, they will rough Stanford up for 40 minutes. And no matter if they lose, they will still make their name known on Stanford as Stanford moves on.
You'll feel it the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to need that day off if they get past them.
With all the recency bias of the conference tournaments, I'm just a little surprised that Maryland fell that far. If you had told me before the conference tournament that Maryland was a 10 seed, that would make total sense. But they beat a top five team in the country in the conference tournament. And the way they rewarded everybody else for their conference tournament success, I'm surprised they put Maryland there. But if I'm Maryland, I'd rather be a 10 seed than an 8-9 because the matchup with Stanford is a lot better than had you ended up in South Carolina's 8-9 matchup. So it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world if they drop down to a 10 seed.
Yeah, I'm still surprised by Nebraska as a 6. It's kind of what...
Yeah, Nebraska being a 6. Yeah,
that Iowa State is a matchup. It's interesting.
Nebraska being a 6 essentially means that you view them as a borderline top 25 team if you were to S-curve it. And I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. But, again, recency bias really showed itself with Nebraska, that they not only did they make it to the Big Ten title game, they forced overtime with everybody's favorite team. So that certainly goes a long way, it appears, in what happened to them in their seeding.
Yeah.
I do think Indiana's win over Iowa is probably the main reason they're a 4 seed right now. I mean, that it doesn't happen without that win.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, all right, let's talk about the brackets a little more, make a couple predictions now that we've got the full brackets. Have you guys all been able to pull it up on your phone or another screen? Yeah, pull that up real quick. We'll start with ours. And Jeff, I'll let you go first. Let's just first start with your prediction for Indiana and how far you think they might make it. I don't have the full bracket up, but let's just talk about if they make it to the, Sweet 16.
NCAA.
Yeah, I can't pull that up. My internet. My internet's being pinged, so I can't get it pulled up.
That's what I'm trying to pull up too.
While you guys are looking it up, Austin, I got a question for you. The tournament, conference tournaments, having a week between that and Selection Sunday, is that play a difference? Like the men's, you obviously have Big Ten tournament ending. Is that why we see more tournament focused recency bias than the men's side?
Could be, because it's not like, all right, we've got the bracket already. And Illinois just beat Wisconsin, so let's just slide them in. They've had a week to digest some of those things. So, yeah, it absolutely could be. It's an interesting thing to think about. I really am surprised with how much weight, because you heard the selection committee chair for the men come on and say, we want to take in the entire body of work of everybody all season long. And I'd be curious if the women's committee chair would say that they weighed heavily on what happened there with the conference tournaments.
Yeah, I'll go first here real quick. I have us winning both games and matching up with South Carolina in the semi and the regional semi. I really do like Nebraska to make it through to the regional semi. Against Notre Dame. And I'm just going to, that's as far as I'm going to go. I'll pick it out to the Sweet 16 there in that bracket.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, I really like Texas. I think Gonzaga is dangerous at the 4, but I like Texas the way they're playing. So I'll take them in that to reach the semi. In that other bracket, I'm kind of with Austin a little bit here. I think North Carolina State is a dangerous team here, and Stanford has not played that well down the stretch. So I'm going to pick North Carolina State to get to the semi in that bracket for there. So that'll put Texas and North Carolina State in that semi. And then I like USC to go through that part of the bracket. And then I like Ohio State, even though they're going to play at, I like Ohio State, even though they'll play UConn in that regional, or UConn and them in that regional semifinal with UConn and Ohio State. So I'm kind of messing up here, but yeah, so that's what I've got.
Yeah. All right. And how about what did you say for the Iowa bracket?
I didn't. Jeff? I said, but I like Iowa and Colorado in that bracket. And LSU and UCLA in that bracket.
Yeah. So pretty shocked. How about for you, Josh? What are your hot takes? And you have the right to the reserve to change your mind as you break it down, of course. So.
Okay. So
right off the top of your head, Josh, you want to take some picks for us?
Yeah. So I'm going to go with South Carolina, obviously South Carolina, Indiana. Like Jeff, I like Nebraska. They're playing really well right now as the six to play Notre Dame. Going down to Portland, 4. Obviously, Texas is going to get through to there. I'm going to go with Utah. I like watching Utah play. I'm a huge fan of Pac-12 basketball because it's on late at night and I never sleep. So I watch that a lot. And then I'm going to go NC State and Stanford. Stanford is going to limp into that Sweet 16. We've talked about that. Ohio State, UConn, I really think Ohio State is a really good team. And I think it was 2 years ago where Indiana had to play UConn in Bridgeport. Ohio State doesn't have to play them in Bridgeport. They'll still have to go to the East Coast. But there's a huge difference between Albany and Bridgeport. Not really a home game for UConn. USC and let me go with Virginia Tech. I like what I've seen from Virginia Tech. My hottest take right here is that Iowa bows out in the Sweet 16 to Kansas State. That's my hottest take. I'm gonna stick with it.
Ooh, that is a hot take. Days.
Also, our friend Ari is saying awesome. Our friend Ari is saying the games in Bloomington are Friday, Sunday.
Okay. I just unmuted my TV for a second because I was curious to see what the chairwoman had to say there. She did say, she came out and said, we evaluated teams off of what they're doing now. So she was very blunt in saying that it's kind of okay. what have you done for me lately situation. So she said they evaluated a team like Virginia Tech without Kittley. That's how they evaluated her. They don't know if she's going to play or not, but they got a sample size in the ACC tournament of what they look like without her. And she said they are looking at teams, how they are constructed now and how they are playing now heading into the tournament, which I don't know. I think I like that. I think I'd rather you do that. I don't know. But like the games in November have to matter, right? So that's the other part of it. Why schedule hard in November if you're not going to pay attention to, like, if Indiana had won at Stanford and then it didn't end up mattering, like, why even schedule that game, you know?
Hey, Austin, question for you, because I've been a buddy of mine sent me a picture from Kathy.
Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a question for Austin.
Yep, I know. I just had there's some questions coming up in the chat. So the games, just for everyone's awareness, are Friday and Sunday for Indiana. As a whole, the women play Friday, Sunday, and they play Saturday and Monday games. They do not play on Thursday. So I see a couple of questions. It's a little different than the men coming up. So they have not released times. They've only started releasing dates. Okay. Go ahead, Jeff. What's your question for Austin?
This is for Austin, because Austin, a buddy of mine, sent me a picture that I'm assuming has come from Twitter that shows the IU watch party with Sydney Parrish still in a boot. Is that something she's been doing still as precautionary?
Yeah.
Do you know much about that?
Yep. She's in a boot. It's precautionary. Yep.
Gotcha.
No issues there at all.
Yep. Good, because with the way some of our injury issues have gone this
and
year.
And one last. Right. Two other points and along that line, just real quick, UConn is actually in the Portland regional, not in Albany. Mm-hmm. So they'll be going out to the Portland area. To that point, just to clarify, nobody has any updates on injuries. So we haven't heard on our three players, Sydney, Mac, or Lily officially. So I don't expect that we will, unless Austin, you've heard anything. I haven't officially heard anything from the team.
Nope, I got nothing.
So that will be a big big factor, I think, for us, because especially if Sydney is re-injured that foot, I think that can make a huge difference for us with our shooting game. We saw how much of a difference she made when she came back this year. So hopefully that is, like Austin said, just precautionary. So how about you, Austin? We haven't kicked it over to you. What are some of your hot takes? Yeah.
Yeah, all I know on Sydney is when she was on our radio show on Monday, she was wearing the boot. That's typical. And she said that she will be totally fine for the tournament. It came out of her mouth. She said she feels good and she'll play in the tournament. So I'm not concerned there whatsoever. Looking at the bracket, I'll stay away from our regional because I think people know where my allegiance lies with the jacket I'm wearing.
We'll treat you like Kirk. We'll treat you like Kirk Herbstreit. Don't pick that one.
Yeah, exactly. I won't pick my broadcast games. I'll go to the Iowa region. Iowa, Kansas State will be interesting. Iowa, Princeton could even be interesting, but I do think Iowa will make it out of there and they'll probably end up matching up with LSU. If I'm UCLA, I'm like, man, that's a really tough bracket to end up with LSU and Iowa. I think LSU gets out. I think the NCAA gets what it wants. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. In the Texas regional, I like Texas. I'm not super big on either Gonzaga or Utah. So I think Texas will get into the Elite Eight up top. In the bottom, Stanford's going to be roughed up, but I do think they'll get out. I think they'll be motivated like Indiana, having been upset on their home floor last season as a one seed. I think Stanford will get out. But I like NC State to make the Elite Eight out of the bottom of that bracket. And in the USC regional, Juju Watkins, when you get into a tournament setting, Kemba Walker taught us something, and that's that if you have a player who can take over a game, that's very valuable in the month of March. Caitlin Clark showed us that last year. Now, she had a great team around her. But I think Juju Watkins can really do something special. If Virginia Tech's without Kitley, I think Baylor will get up and play USC, and I think USC will advance to the Elite Eight. In the bottom, that the UConn-Ohio State matchup is the circled one there. Ohio State has the talent to win the national title, but there's just some head-scratchers, like the way they played against Maryland at the Big Ten tournament, where they just don't hit shots. And when they don't hit shots, they're like Indiana, they're going to lose. So I'll be curious to see how UConn handles the press of Ohio State. If they learn from last year, I lean toward Ohio State because I do think that that team has national championship talent on it. And I would love to see USC Ohio State, the rematch of the opening game of the season. Those two teams played in the first game of the year in Las Vegas. So that would be really fun to see the two of them match up again. I was high on Ohio State preseason. I picked them to win the league. I think that team has so much talent and they can truly make a Final Four run.
Yeah. Yep. I agree a lot with what you're saying. So also for clarification, the game's on Friday. So we do play Friday and we could start anywhere from noon Eastern to 8 p.m. at night. So just same as the men's side, it's an all day affair. So again, those times haven't been released yet. So for me, I think some of my hot takes are a lot along the same as you guys. I think LSU is going to be an interesting one to watch. I too think we're going to end up seeing that Iowa LSU matchup, the way they've kind of lined up the brackets. I think Iowa is susceptible though this year. And we saw that right a couple of times, like when Indiana played them. And for them, I don't think it's how Caitlin Clark goes. I think it's how the rest of team goes. So if, you know, teams can worry less about Caitlin Clark and worry more about, you know, like Hannah Stolke, I think they're susceptible. On our side of the bracket, I think South Carolina, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pick against us. I just think that they're too strong and too deep for us, especially coming in with some of our injuries. I think South Carolina is probably going to make that into that Final Four bracket again. For me as well, I like Texas quite a bit. I saw them a couple of times in their games this year, and I really like what I see from them. I think the Tennessee getting that sixth seed, going up against a potential NC State, I'm going to have to think long and hard on that one. Tennessee, you know, to my recency bias, they weren't playing great at the beginning of the year, but they have been playing really, really well down the stretch, but so has NC State. So I'm going to have to really think on that one as well. I think Stanford too, like you, I kind of expect Maryland actually to pull the slight upset over Iowa State, but go up against Stanford. But I think Stanford ends up handling them, but I don't know who I'm going to pick out of that bracket. Off the top of my head, I'm leaning towards Texas, but I think that one is one where we could see some upsets on that side as well. And then the last bracket for me, we have USC. I really like USC from what I've seen of them. But I think that they're going to have an interesting matchup as well with that Ohio State. Again, like you both all have said, against UConn. I'm not sure that who I'm going to pick for some major upsets, but I like Virginia Tech over there, but that's only with Kittley. I think that we could see Baylor pulling off beating Virginia Tech down in that bracket too. So just off the top of my head, those are kind of some of my hot takes, if you will. Well, let's go around it. How about, again, you know, as you break down your brackets over the next few days, you can absolutely return and change your mind. But Jeff, let's start with you. Do you have in your mind who you think off the cuff might be crowned as national champion this year?
I'm going to go with South Carolina as my pick. My dark horse here, and I agree with Austin, is somebody like is USC, because I agree, but you get that player who can just get hot and you can ride them for, you know, 2-3 weeks. So USC is my dark horse. If you can make a number one seed your dark horse, but to me right now it's kind of South Carolina versus the field.
Yeah. How about for you, Josh? Who's your hot take? And then we'll go with a dark horse like Jeff too. If you had a dark horse, who would that be right now?
So obviously South Carolina is the team that I will pick. My dark horse, surprisingly enough, I'll go with Ohio State. I think if they can get hot, they can get rolling. And as much as players can get hot, like USC, they could also get really cold really fast.
Yeah,
we see it with Keisei Tominaga and a bunch of players on the men's side. If they're not having their best game, they're going to try to shoot out of it. I think Ohio State has a real chance to make it to the Final Four, and I don't really see a team on the right side of the bracket that can beat, well, actually LSU. They everybody can beat anybody at that point of the year, but I really think Ohio State has a chance, and that's my dark horse pick, a two seed. It's kind of crazy. I know Jeff went with the one seat, so I'll go a little bit more bold with the two.
How about you, Austin? Who's your cuff?
I mean, South Carolina's best team in the country. It's hard to pick against them, but my dark horse is in their region. I think Notre Dame's playing some of the best basketball in the country right now, and Hannah Hidalgo is one of those people that can take a game over, and not just in shooting. She's a defensive pest. She's a great facilitator. I mean, it is just, she is as good of a basketball player, a true freshman. And if you add Olivia Miles back to that team next year, they're going to be scary. The world is fortunate she's not there right now, because that would be a really dangerous team. But I think Notre Dame, a dark horse. And of course, both teams I say are in Indiana's region, showing how difficult it's going to be for the Hoosiers to keep moving. But that's not to say they can't. And then UConn, I mean, you got Paige Beckers, you can win games. And I think for the first time in a long time, UConn is maybe being slept on a little bit. And because here's the thing. The Big East in women's basketball is not very strong. And they got a couple of teams, Creighton and Marquette, in the tournament with UConn. But UConn blew the doors off everybody in their league, in the conference tournament. We didn't get to see much from them. They lost to Notre Dame in the non-con. They lost to South Carolina in the non-con. But I think Gina Wariema and Paige Beckers being slept on is a dangerous game. And Paige Beckers is, again, somebody else who could take over a basketball game. So I do think that Notre Dame and UConn would be my sleepers, which, what a world we live in where those two can be considered sleepers now. Maybe 5 years ago, you'd sound silly saying that.
Hey, real quick, Kathy, I'll jump in here.
I was just going to say, hot off the presses, the press conference literally is happening right now. And McKenzie has said she's feeling a lot better and has been practicing. So that's good news.
It's a huge difference from last season, because last year she went into this 2-week break and didn't get to practice because she had injured herself at the Big Ten tournament. This injury was more of a re-injury, from my understanding, from what they've told us in the press. So to me, that means it was a shorter recovery and she was able to practice clearly, as she's telling us now. So that's a huge difference between last season when she wasn't able to play against Tennessee Tech and was limited against Miami, as opposed to this season where it was a re-injury. So she was able to kind of figure out, she knew how to rehab it. She knew what she needed to do. And now I think she's ready to go, which is great news for all of us.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I guess I haven't made my picks yet. So I'm kind of waffling in my head here. My off the cuff, I think today I'm picking South Carolina. Now, when I sit down and break down the bracket, I don't know that I'm going to stick with that. Honestly, and like Jeff, I'm going to pick a number one for my dark horse. So for whatever that means. And honestly, I don't think that I'm going to rule out. I know. And this is, and I'm going to make myself sick saying this, but I am going to say Iowa as my dark horse to go. I just think Caitlin Clark has shown that she can really take
Caitlin Clark a dark horse.
I know. I'm booing myself.
She's been an underdog her entire life.
You can't do this. Kathy, you are feeding the fire. That's true. You are feeding the fire that is already much too high.
Go, no, Kathy, go.
This was never a long shot.
Mute her mic.
That's true. Mute her mic. I know. I threw up a little in my mouth having that come out of my mouth, but no one's really talked about Iowa. I mean, I just said earlier in the show too, I think they're susceptible to getting beaten, not even making it to the Final Four this year, but I might end up writing them down, but I'm doing everything in pencil, so I reserve the right to erase them right off of off of the Final Four line. So I think there's some other teams out there though that can really show us some surprises. I think Jeff mentioned Nebraska. I don't think that we'll see them go too terribly far, but I can see them making it to the Sweet 16. I do think it's a little unfortunate that they stuck so many Big Ten teams in that bracket. You know, half our Big Ten teams are all in the same bracket, but yeah, you know, it is what it is. You play the teams in front of you and that's going to be what it's going to be. But I really like actually UCLA as well. So that is where I can see Iowa kind of getting snagged there as well against LSU. So I think they do have a tough road. I don't see any of the number one seeds, to be honest, having a super easy road. But what do you guys think? I think that everyone is susceptible out of all those number ones and someone in their bracket. So, you know, again, back to what we were talking about at the beginning of our broadcast here, it's so nice to see that with women's basketball, where we're not just simply, like Austin said, just picking UConn and Tennessee and Notre Dame anymore. You know, we have a whole handful of teams that I think are quite capable of making it to the Final Four and not just the number one seed. So definitely, I don't think it's going to just be chalk all the way this year. Do you guys agree, disagree with that?
I agree. Yeah, I think that's completely fair. One thing I will say with the team, I know we all certainly thought or certainly had our wonders of what was going on in the Big Ten tournament with McKenzie not playing and then playing at the end. Just take a deep breath and now we can all relax because it's going to work out. Indiana got the 4 seed and they got McKenzie home some extra rest. And now I think she's going to be good to go. Right. But I do think it caused us to hold our breath for a week here. 9 days since they lost to Michigan to sit, wait, and wonder if that cost them the 4 seed. But we can all take a deep breath now. And Mackenzie Holmes talking in the press conference about how she feels good, much better than last year, says she's good to go. Like, that's very comforting for Hoosier fans as we head into a regional. And I think everybody was just so scared when it happened because of what happened last year, but I think we're in a better spot.
Yeah, that's right. Gentlemen, why don't we each go around and kind of. Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with really just flaming hot take here to end this show. It's going to be bad. It's going to turn on me bad, especially since my sister went to Iowa. But I'm going to just.
Should I mute you?
AA won't let this happen, but Princeton in the round of 32 beating Iowa 2 years ago, I believe it was 2 years ago, maybe longer.
Two years ago. Are you thinking of the Creighton game?
Yeah. Creighton took down Iowa.
Creighton.
Last year, Georgia almost did it too. Yeah. Georgia was really close to beating Iowa in the second round last year.
Princeton has a history of having some upsets in March. I mean, they almost took down Indiana 3 years ago.
And Princeton was the 10 seed that almost beat Utah last year in the round of 32. And Caitlin Chen is, again, like I said, as good as it gets, the point guard position. So I'm not as bold as to predict that, but I like it. I don't hate that idea. I think Princeton's a real – we saw them firsthand. That's a really, really good team.
Hey, Austin, real quick, will you have a coach's show this week and then maybe tell us a little bit about what your week is like?
No coaches show. We're all wrapped up in that area with the men's season being over. But we'll focus on Friday now. I'll swing through Terre Haute, do some baseball on Tuesday, and then it's all basketball from then on out. And this is the best week of the year because it's 4 days of complete anticipation, 3 days on the men's side, 4 days on the women's side, and you just get to. I've decided that my bracket will be filled out by Papa Shot results this week at the office, so I will not be very productive, but I will be getting a lot of Papa Shot in. So I'm very excited for this week. We'll all find out when the time is. Hopefully it's not during the middle of the workday, but even if it is, hey, bosses out there, let your people go to the IU Fairfield game on Friday, please. But if you can't, you can always tune in too.
That's right.
And Josh, will you be on site?
I will be.
And great. Cool. Yeah, I took off Friday already, so this works out great for me. Now I just got to talk my husband into playing hooky and watching with me. So, well, gentlemen, we've been on a little over an hour. How about we go around and give our final thoughts here? And Josh, why don't we start with you? What are your final thoughts as we now officially head into March Madness and starting an NCAA play here on Friday?
Yeah, I'm so excited. This is, like Austin said, the best time of year. I think the last 2 weeks have also been an even better, just as good. I don't know how people can just sit there and watch the NCAA tournament with conference tournaments going on the past 2 or 3 weeks. Indiana got a tough draw, but I think obviously the end goal is to win a national championship. But I think if they can get to that Sweet 16 and be in a game with South Carolina and play them tough, I think that'll make people happy. I don't want to see them get blown out again. I think they get past that Sweet 16, but I want them to get over that hump of this season. It's kind of been tough away from Assembly Hall. So I want to see them play a tough game against South Carolina. Rest of the bracket, it's going to be very fun, very interesting. I'm excited. I'm with Austin. I'm just going to blindly, I might do what my mom does and where do I want to go rather than who's the better team. That works on the men's side, but not as much on the women's side. But I mean, I'd rather be in Indiana than Oklahoma. That's for sure.
That's true. Great. Awesome. Thanks, Josh. How about you, Austin? What are your final thoughts for us on a Selection Sunday?
I'm with Josh. It's a tough draw. Fairfield's not going to be easy. The Oklahoma, Florida Gulf Coast winter's not going to be easy, but it's March. Nothing's easy. And I think Indiana learned that the hard way last year, with Miami coming into town. It reminds me a little bit of two seasons ago where if you want to make a run, you got to get through UConn. And this year, if you want to make a run, you got to get through South Carolina. So you got to beat the best to be the best. And I've said it all year. If Indiana's shooters are on, they can beat anybody in the country. If their shooters are off, they can lose to anybody in the country. That's just kind of the way this season has gone. We've seen, and that's why their losses have been so lopsided, because when the shots aren't going in, this team just really struggles offensively. But when the shots are going in, they beat Nebraska by 20 on the road. They beat Nebraska or Iowa by 17. They have these games where they just put teams away really quickly when they are shooting the ball well. So I think if Indiana can knock down some shots, they're going to have a chance to make a run in this tournament. I just saw on Twitter that Charlie Cream has predicted Ole Miss, the 7 seed in Indiana's region, will make a run to the Elite Eight, which I do not believe in at all. That means they're going to beat Notre Dame, and that means they're probably going to beat Oregon State, and I don't foresee that happening whatsoever. But Charlie Cream's on the Ole Miss train. It's just a really hard bracket for Indiana. But again, you got to beat the best to be the best. Yeah. If Indiana wants to make a big run, they're going to have to go through the juggernaut that is South Carolina. But everybody's got to lose at some point, right?
That's the hope. That's the hope, except for us. Jeff, how about you? What are your final thoughts for tonight?
I'm going to go back to coaching cliche 101. You're one and done at this point. So the focus has to stay on every game in the front of you. And you just got to be 1-0 at the end of the day on Friday, 1-0 at the end of the day on Sunday if you get there. But right now, the most important thing is being 1-0 on Friday. And the entire focus right now just has to be on Fairfield.
That's right. Yeah, I was actually going to say the exact same thing, Jeff. We gotta watch and play who's in front of us. And tonight, it's Fairfield. That's who we got to watch out for. We can't look ahead to whoever we might be playing next, because if we don't beat Fairfield, then it doesn't matter. Yeah, go ahead, Austin.
My last thought that I just saw somebody tweet, and this is really important to understand. Indiana had been to an NCAA tournament 4 times before Terry Moran got here. Let's not take for granted what we have here in Bloomington this week. She's been a top 4 seed, the team. She has led the team to a top 4 seed in 4 consecutive NCAA tournaments, and might have been in 2020 if that one wasn't canceled. It was going to be close. So what she has done to turn this program around, do not take this for granted. We've got NCAA tournament games in Bloomington. If you had told anybody associated with the program before Terry Moran took over that would start to happen at a regular basis, they probably would not have believed you. So what she has done to turn this program around is incredible. And I'm so excited to see the crowd that we get in Bloomington this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's a great note to go out on. I don't think I can add anything better to that. So let's just talk about our upcoming schedule. So we will be on, or at least myself and somebody on Friday. Jeff is going to be gallivanting around in Spain with some of his high school students. So I'll be working on seeing who can get to partner with me for a post game show once I know the time of the game. So I'll be reaching out to some of my backup friends to co-host. But we will have some kind of show on Friday. So just keep an eye on our Twitter account. If you're following us on Twitter and doing the work. You can also follow us on YouTube at the Back Home Network. And then if you're part of our private community that's on Substack, we'll be sure to try to announce it there as well as in our Discord. So once I have a better idea of time and all of that, we'll keep everyone up to date. But that is to be determined, but we will definitely be on in some fashion on Friday. So that is our upcoming schedule. So I think we will wrap it up. So thanks to everyone who is out there listening. Thanks to John Ringer of Riggs Design, who designed our logo. Thanks to Bob Thompson, who designed came up with our music that you hear. And most of all, again, thank you to Josh, our special guest, and Austin Rinder coming on and joining us for tonight. Very excited that you could both join us. Very exciting. And like Austin said, don't take this for granted, everyone. This is not something that we can just take for granted. This is a huge accomplishment again for our women's program. So if you are in or near or can travel to the Bloomington area on Friday, I'd highly encourage you all to do that. And if you can't, like Austin said, listen to him on the radio or pop it on the TV. It will be on one of the ESPN channels. And make sure you show all of your love and support for the women, our coaches program, and everybody, including Austin, who supports them out there as well. But we will talk with you again on Friday. And until then, keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim, and let's go Hoosiers.
That's a good one.
All right.
Cool. Hey, thanks, everybody. Hey, Austin, is Nikki still working with internet?
The plan is yes. I actually have to touch base with her this week and see.
Sorry, Kathy. Yeah,
my thing says we're still live. Are we still live? Or
yeah, I'll stop it here in a second. Give me a chance.
Yeah, even if you are watching the game on ESPN, tune into Austin. I like doing that. Because you're going to hear about Caitlin Clark anyway.
I do that too.